Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Appreciate Paul Kuharsky for being with us in the last hour. With us starting now, but PK had to go a little bit earlier today. So if you're tuning in and you missed PK, it'll be up later on our Robbie and Rex Road podcast. Be up shortly. Anywhere you find your podcast, Spotify, Apple, thegamenashville.com. Check it out. A lot of memory talk. Last time out.
Get that led by Rex Road. Yeah. Well, yeah. We both have some issues. But that's the thing. Like, long term, I'm good.
That's good.
I mean, I can tell you, like, something that happened in a Detroit Tigers baseball game in 1987, like, yeah, with precision. You know what I mean?
You think we hear from Arden Key today?
I don't even totally understand. It's still going to be a restricted access thing, unfortunately, with players.
Lovely.
So, but it's like, it's on days when Callahan talks, it'll be more restricted. On days when he doesn't talk, it'll be less. So, all of which is to say, I don't know. I don't know when next time he'll be available, but I cannot wait.
I can't
for
either.
That. Let me tell you something.
Paul Kuharsky. Arden, looking forward to hearing from you.
What's up with Kuharsky?
What's up with Kuharsky? You have some problems that you need to air out with Stilly.
Yeah, we got into a big argument, which I'll bring here. I want something on the record, first of all, because I assume either he said it yesterday. I listened to some of his show, which also brought another issue to mind. I mean, obviously he's obsessed with us and likes to take shots at us. So three things with him. First of all, and someone who was texting earlier about, like, the model, like, his expectation. I don't know what this is. I don't care, okay? But, like, it makes no – like, make a prediction or don't make a prediction, okay? This is not – like, you're acting like this is, like, some PFF analytics model. It's like your weird little should they win? Yeah, I don't care. I do not care. So the fact that I guess I actually had a lot of the same things that he did per game, I didn't go through what he said about every game, and I don't care. I don't care, okay? So that's the first thing. Also, he said one of the dumbest things that's ever come out of my mouth was comparing Steve Underwood to Chad Brinker, because he's all on this thing where Chad Brinker should be at the presser and all that.
Yeah.
I said it, I think, but if I didn't say it, I'll say it again. I'm not saying it's the exact same job. I understand. It's a different setup. They don't have the same setup they had. Steve Underwood then was more what Burke Nihil is now in the organization. But my point is, unless you can – show me that Chad Brinker is picking the players. Because the funny thing is, every time we talk about GMs talking, trades being made, all these things, it's Ran, who's the general manager, who picks the players. Now, if that's not true, I understand that Chad Brinker is ahead of him on the pecking order, and technically Ran, I guess, reports to Chad. But unless Chad is picking the players, then no, he's not necessary at the press conferences, in my opinion, and you're misguided there. There's two.
Okay.
But the third thing is, this is something, again, maybe Jared said it yesterday, or he will again, maybe he has before. I just want to kill it and shame it as much as possible before it ever gets any life, because it's a complete disservice to anyone out there who might actually believe this is true. Okay. It's so stupid that it seriously makes me angry, and I don't like to be angry. I have a long fuse,
long
like you
fuse.
Know.
Yes.
Long fuse, okay? So Jared, and this is where, like, what Paul was saying last week at one point, it's like, I know he's smart, so when he gets into these really dumb conspiracy theories, it's like, does he really believe it, or is he just doing this for content? And I have a problem with that if you're doing it for content. I guess I have a problem if you're that dumb, too. But I don't think you're that dumb. Jared is trying to push this idea that when the Titans, you know, around Thanksgiving or whatever it was, and Diana Russini at The Athletic had the report,
yep,
that Mike Vrabel's going nowhere, he's going to be the coach, that was actually intentionally lying. So, I mean, if we're going to say the Titans, I mean, I guess you could say
Amy.
And this is, again, speculation. But you could just say Amy Adams.
Sorry,
Strong.
Miss Amy.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Miss Amy. Yes. Thank you, Mr. Rob.
Yeah.
Mr. Rob, Mr. Robert, Mr. Robbie, which you prefer.
Whatever you want to do.
Yeah. So think about And he tried to make this case yesterday. We were yelling about it right before the press conference started. And I said, you're the dumbest person I know. Like, yelling at, I mean, again, like, that's not cool. I got out of hand a little bit.
Once again, the long fuse on display.
Yeah, well, but it took a while.
Yep,
it took a while. Like, the long fuse does lead to the dynamite. The dynamite is at the end of the fuse, okay?
It's true.
It's just, it's like, but think about the logic there. I mean, I need you to get mad about this. Think about the logic that you would have to not possess to think that Amy Adams Strunk would want it out there publicly that there's no way it's – let's end the speculation, end the talk. Vrabel is the coach next year, moving forward with Mike Vrabel. And you actually knew that's not the case and you're lying about it. And Jared said something like, well, they could have been traded Vrabel. Like, just stop it, man. Stop it.
Well, I don't know if – let's operate under that way of thinking for a minute that Amy Adams Strunk knew she was firing Vrabel the whole time. Well, why would you say anything, right?
Yes.
Like, why would you say anything at all about it?
Right.
Like, that doesn't add up to me. Like, if you knew that you were going to fire him the whole time, then you just wouldn't say anything. You wouldn't come out and, you certainly wouldn't come out and say, yeah, Mike Vrabel's going to be our coach.
So that you can look terribly stupid later.
And reverse course, what was it, 6 weeks?
Yeah.
7 weeks later?
Right.
Yeah.
So you're
look, it doesn't.
You're intentionally making yourself look dumb publicly.
I mean, we talked about that the day after he got fired, which was, you know, she said 6 weeks ago that he was safe and that he was the coach moving forward. So what changed between now and then? That's basically 50% of the conversation we had the next
But
day.
I'll go back to some reporting that we did, and there is a lot of information in there about what went wrong, including around that time and everything, the Patriots thing, they never talked about it. There was a communication breakdown. Things festered. Things got worse. That's what happened. I mean, again, this has all been reported, vetted, sourced. Like, that's what happened. So why, if you're Jared, other than you have 4 hours a day to talk and you have to fill the time, would you decide to go here with it? Again, it's kind of like the, well, let's just keep this plane from Green Bay crap alive. Why not?
I forgot about the plane from Green Bay.
Yeah. We're going to gather all these bricks one day, and we're gonna build a nice little homage to Jared's takes.
I got two texts from Stilly on my personal text line.
Oh, good.
The first one, the coolest kid in class always, quote, doesn't care, bro, going about your first comments. Secondly, ask this question.
Well, I don't understand what this stupid model is. Make me care.
His second one, ask this question. What happened with the coach before Vrabel? Referring to Mularkey.
Yeah. Though he did this too. So again, this is where, like, I guess maybe he is dumb. Because it's like this inability to grasp some basic logic principles. Yes, there's no question that there was some lying that happened and there was some cloak and dagger and the Mularkey thing happened. How do you look at that and say, well, that situation must be exactly the same as this situation? If someone lies one time, which, frankly, any of these teams at different times do, so to Jared, that means everything's a lie, always, prisoner of every moment. No, use your brain. Use your brain.
Cameron says, saying it and meaning it and then doing a complete 180 and firing Vrabel 6 weeks later sure as hell doesn't make her look smart. This is from Cameron on the text line.
Well, you're right, Cameron. You're right. But again, let's compare that to this idea of, well, I know I'm firing him, but let's go ahead and go public with, no way he's going anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right, Cameron. It looks bad because it's an owner who over 2 years went all in and gave all this money to two people, fired one of them in season when you didn't need to, basically saying the responsibility's on that person, and then all of a sudden fire the other one.
A year later.
But again, I'm going to point to information that has been reported that's very clear about their relationship, about what Vrabel said about Rand when they hired Rand, about the breakdown of communication. Yes, the Patriots weekend, and from the Amy perspective, I absolutely was wrong.
Nothing burger. Jared from Spring Hill's bringing it up on the text line.
Yeah, but no, that's fair. But the nothing burger is, and I'll take this to my grave, Vrabel was not trying to rip his own boss when he said what he said at the Patriots Ring of Honor, okay? But it was not a nothing burger for Amy. There's no doubt about it. So those are the things that lead you to go public with something, say there's no way it's happening, and then 6 weeks later change your mind. There was a lot of losing in between. You know, there were other things that happened, but mostly it was a relationship that deteriorated. This is all clear, but we're going to go with she lied at the time? Really? You're going to make me go crazy?
615-737-1025, our phone number. Take your reaction on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. More on the Titans and the beginning of training camp today coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. We're taking your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. The game summer ticket tour presented by Green River Whiskey is back. Join our own Joe Dubin at MJ Sports Bar and Grill, 1253 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro tomorrow from 4 to 6 p.m. as he gives away tickets to upcoming concerts in Nashville, including Bush, Train, Dierks Bentley, and more. Sign up for the grand prize, tickets to a Preds home game, Sounds game, and to the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/tour. Green River Distilling Company, Owensboro, Kentucky. Alcohol volume varies by product. Please drink responsibly.
So I'm really glad that we have football to watch today. I mean, who knows what we'll see. Unfortunately, it'll probably be in the bubble would be my guess. By the way, quick aside, we do give all players today. So Arden.
Little Arden Key.
And no, that is not the most newsworthy thing or anything. But I'd like to know what he has to say. So I'm glad we have football. So I want to put this to bed today. I know Jared will spend an hour on this and whatever. That's fine. I don't put this to rest. We get to football tomorrow. But I do want to go through Kyle in Shelbyville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, okay? He says, if Amy didn't plan on firing him the whole time, why in that press conference? And what he means is the Mike Keith. He says the hostage video with Mike Keith. Did she say, I considered firing both, you know, at the same time? I guess she said that, right? She said she considered.
I don't remember
her saying that explicitly, but I mean, I think that was maybe inferred. So again, Kyle, so let's play this out then. So you're saying it's possible that last year when Mike Vrabel was the coach, that Amy actually planned to fire him all along? I mean, that again, if that's remotely true, then why would he have been there? And remember, I know right now Vrabel is helping out in Cleveland, all that stuff. Going into last year, where would Mike Vrabel have ranked on an owner's list, a GM's list, an other coaches list, a media list of top coaches in the NFL?
Pretty high.
Pretty freaking high. She didn't plan to fire him all along. She didn't plan to fire him at Thanksgiving. She fired him. She eventually got there and changed her mind and fired him. It's been 2 years of changing her mind and doing things. This is not hard. Someone says, I'm not a Jared hater. I respect his work ethic, preparation work, but his hot takes and going on about this guy sucks and she's a liar makes him hard to listen to. Landon in Clarksville.
Well, you got Jared.
This is not a referendum on Jared, just on this particular take.
You got Jared versus Joe coming up at 5 o'clock today.
We do.
So I'm sure this will come up, so among other things.
That's fine. If it comes up, then he's screwed.
And that long fuse is going to be in some serious jeopardy, baby.
I think I've yelled it out. I mean, he seriously is trying to talk about, like, well, you could have. There was talk of trading for him, but yes, it was all a long play. And she,
5 o'clock today.
See, I need you to get mad about this. You just laugh at how I get mad.
Well, stop getting so mad now, quick.
But you know, you agree with me. You know how stupid this is.
Yes, I do.
Thank you. I just need some support here.
Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Witt. Witt, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, hope you can hear me. I'm driving.
Yeah, man.
Jared's become a one-note pony. I cannot listen to it anymore. The Nicholas Petit Frere, a.k.a. that bit is so old. Come
PT,
on.
PT.
Have some creativity. Anyway, do I not remember at the end of last season that Vrabel met with Amy and appeared, from what we heard reported, that they were necessarily on the same page in terms of all kumbaya, and he wanted to be somebody over Rand. I mean, if you meet with your boss and you're on a different page, your boss lets you go. It doesn't matter where you're working. That's what happens.
Thank you, Witt. Did you say a one-note pony?
One note? I've never heard one-note pony.
I like it.
I don't mind the PT. I do, since this has become a Jared, 70% of the show is about him, right?
Well.
I would ask that Jared never says anywho again. Anywho. Okay. I mean, I really
Jared,
hate
write that down.
Anywho. Anywho. I think anywho was coined by Jim Carrey on the show In Living Color in like 1990.
Maybe so. I had people asking me on the text line if I saw what happened to Andre Dillard yesterday. Yep, saw it. 3 sacks, 4 plays for Rashawn Gary. Let's go back to our 1035 The Game phone line. Welcome in, Kyle. Kyle, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. Well, y'all were talking about how all the reports and everything were saying that, you know, Vrabel is safe, this and that. Well, in that interview, the hostage interview with Mike Keefe, she was saying, I considered firing both of them. I really was. I wanted to restart. So, I mean, she's contradicting herself right there if she doesn't realize it.
Yeah, a lot of people are bringing this up. And thanks, Kyle. A lot of people are bringing this up, the fact that there was some confirmation. Again, I don't remember the exact wording. We don't have the mic. We don't need to. That there was a consideration. And that's fine. I mean, I think it's a fair thing to consider a complete start over. What you do then is you fire John Robinson and Vrabel, if you want to do it, after the season, right? Yep. And you do a clean sweep. But she decided not to. So she went into last season with Mike Vrabel, one of the agreed-upon best coaches in the NFL at the time, and a new GM, and they talked about collaboration. Do you think that was all a ruse?
I mean, if so, then they've got much deeper problems.
Yeah, like it's the most dysfunctional organization in sports history. Other than the Lions. Maybe the Browns.
Yeah, I mean, if that's how it played out, then they got much bigger problems than who used to be the coach and the roster and all the other stuff. You're in deep trouble if that's the case.
Amy wanted Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon to work out and for Mike Vrabel to keep winning as a coach and work well with Rand Carthon, and that was the plan, I promise you. When you're paying people millions of dollars to do things, you actually think that maybe they can do them. I promise you. Even owners in this league.
I'm going to talk to Diana Russini today, and I'm going to tell her that everything's good. We're keeping Vrabel going.
I mean, the thing is, like, if you decide to go public with something like that and then, you know, it changes. Yes, you look silly because you change your mind.
Yeah.
But, like, knowing how silly you'll look, but you do it intentionally.
Somebody did text me about, like, what about, like, college ADs when they give the quote-unquote vote of confidence to a coach? Like, it's a little bit different than that, but I hear the point.
Yeah, the vote of confidence is like an AD is at a presser, like, and then they're asked, and like, oh, yeah, we have this. Was, again, read it. He's going nowhere. This was everyone stop. It's not happening.
Yeah.
Okay?
Out of your way to say something about it. Yeah.
Right.
So I don't think that was the plan. Glad we established that, though. I look forward to hearing what Jared has to say about it later today.
I mean, it's just a waste of time. Again, I'm glad that we have, and I wasted our time. I apologize. I wasted listeners' time today. I wasted your time today. Next time, I apologize. But it's infuriating. And I hope Jared doesn't waste too much time today, because there's actually football that he will observe, just like all of us today, to talk about. I hope that we can put this to bed. It's just not worth talking about. But then he does this, and it's like, no. Like, I just feel bad for anybody who listens to his show who actually might think this is possible. And I just feel like it's like a responsibility. This is like a PSA for you. Like, to not let that happen.
615.
You can't save everybody, man.
737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take more of your reaction to this. We will get into the Rand Carthon versus, I think, what we now know, Eric DaCosta. Soccer coming up next as well. Get Joe's thoughts on that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Got some tickets to give away to see Hootie and the Blowfish at Bridgestone Arena this Saturday. Be caller 5-615-737-1025. Rand Carthon was asked about the reported potential trade of Derrick Henry last season between the Ravens and the Titans yesterday at his press conference. Had an interesting response. Here's what Rand Carthon had to say yesterday at the podium.
Were you offered a fourth that could have turned into a third for Derrick last?
No, I wasn't. I don't know where that came from. That's not my concern. But we had multiple teams, you know, to call about Derrick and offer something that wasn't worth taking, worth even considering, and I communicated that with Derek during that time. But no, we never agreed with anybody to do anything to move anybody.
So that was Rand Carthon. Question asked by Paul Kuharski there.
Am I wrong? It kind of sounded like Terry, right?
I don't think so.
All right. God.
Paul Kuharski with the question there for Rand Carthon.
Same side of the room.
Same side of the room. So as you laid out earlier in the show, there was the report from The Athletic that the Ravens offered a fourth that could have turned into a third for Derrick Henry last season for his services. And Rand Carthon basically saying yesterday, I don't know where that came from. That's not his concern, all that stuff. What did you make of Carthon's response? The he said stuff now that it sounds like between Carthon and what we all assume to be Eric DaCosta coming from the story there. And
it is Eric DaCosta. Yeah. So that's my biggest issue, I guess, with what Rand said is I know where it came from. It came from Eric DaCosta, the Ravens GM.
It came from the Ravens GM.
That's
manager.
Where it came from.
It's exactly where it came from.
So, you know, so I get you could frame it, but one of them's lying. Now, could it be, you know, DaCosta felt like it was a stronger agreement or framework than Rand did?
Maybe.
Or they had a misunderstanding of their semantics here on exactly what was at stake. Yeah, I guess. But it seems like
kind of sounded to me like Rand trying to downplay
them
because potentially shopping Derrick Henry.
Well, I think it's downplaying the fact that because there are a lot of fans who are mad because they could have had another pick in this draft. You know, now some fans are like, I'm glad we got those few weeks with Derrick Henry and he had a chance to say goodbye in the microphone and all that stuff. And some are like, boy, third or fourth round pick would have been great. I think it's, you know, obviously you're open to criticism if it's on your end that a deal that's pretty good, I'd say, like you said, we were talking fifth, sixth, that seems like a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
So I think that's what it is. And again, like PK was in earlier, you know, I can find the exact graph, but essentially it was that, you know, someone above Rand, right, nixed the trade.
Yes.
Which, you know, you naturally come to miss Amy with that too, but Paul does not think that's the case. Regardless, they were close. Derrick Henry said they were close, and that was a good thing that Stilley did yesterday. Good job, Stilley. Played the Derrick Henry clip from his interview on Bussin' with the Boys with those guys. And it's interesting also to me that he was kept in the loop that closely. That doesn't always happen in terms of a potential trade. But I think it's that's doing right by someone. I think that's good. But the way he said it was, he said it. It was close. It was real close, you know. So clearly it was close. Whatever was offered or whatnot and who nixed it and all that, I don't know. But this is Rand Carthon and Eric DaCosta publicly
sparring.
Disputing something. That's what's happening here.
That's what's happening, and that's where it came from. And look, I mean, you can believe whatever you want to believe, I guess. I mean, the question, I know you guys tackled this a little bit last week, is if it was a fourth that could have turned into a third, are you doing yourself a disservice by not making that deal if you're the Titans? How much could that have helped you this year? And obviously, we'll never know because the deal didn't happen. So they ended up getting Derrick Henry not for free because they had to pay him money, but didn't have to give up any assets to go get him. So we'll never know. But like, how do you weigh the last few weeks of Derrick Henry's Titans career and the opportunity to say goodbye and the massive game he had against Jacksonville and all that stuff versus what you could have gotten in return for him? You know, Jared's throwing it out there too that he thinks that trading Derrick Henry, even with that return, would have been a mistake, and talked about, you know, having Derrick Henry there for Will Levis as another weapon to occupy the mind of the defense and all that other stuff. I mean, you could view it however you want to view it, but I think it's a fair question to ask of, like, are you doing yourself a disservice to pass up a deal like that if that was on the table?
Yeah. So I will read this just as a matter of record. And that's a fair point on Levis, on, you know, trying to support him as much as possible and things like that.
Just trying to suck back up to Jared before 5 o'clock.
Exactly. I got a doozy of a text read you on that. So here's a quote. DaCosta about Derrick Henry. Quote, he decimated us. This is from Dan Pompey, story of The Athletic. Quote, he decimated us. If you believe in your team and an opponent torments you, that resonates. Next graph. DaCosta agreed to the framework of a trade with Tennessee general manager Rand Carthon. A fourth-round pick that could have become a third had Henry reached certain production levels. However, others in the Titans hierarchy apparently were not on board with the deal, so Henry played out the season in Nashville. That is Eric DaCosta telling you this stuff.
Well, so then I don't understand the – I don't know where that's coming from, part of the comment from Carthon. That,
it's,
that doesn't make a whole lot of
that's
sense.
My,
which makes me think he's just lying about it.
Could be.
I mean, like, it's not the world's biggest deal if he is, but that's what it makes me think.
Yeah. I mean, certainly – yeah, like best case is like, you know, both sides, they had a different view of it. But, yeah, I mean, why would DaCosta say that? I guess he could be lying too. Anybody could be lying.
Anybody could.
Everybody's lying. Everybody's lying all the time. Bob and Mount Juliet has some of the dumbest texts I've ever read in our text line.
Okay.
Said, said you sound like a yes man for the Titans. Yes. That's so because I think that Amy Adams Strunk didn't intentionally mislead the public. That's being a yes,
you're a yes man.
Well, that's what Jared went to. Like, oh, you believe what the Titans say all the time. Okay. So they lie all the time. Are they actually building that stadium? Is that true? I haven't seen it yet. Like, no. I don't see the finished product of the stadium. No. Do we know they're building the stadium? Are they going to stay in Nashville? Are they moving?
You're a team shill for GB Joe.
That's right.
Vandy Joe.
Yes.
And now the Tennessee Titans.
Yes.
Good. That's great use of your time.
Isn't that the job? I mean, that's the job I'm supposed to be doing, right?
Yeah. You just made the list.
That's impressive.
Thank you. Tech says, trading Derrick Henry for a third or fourth would have been a good idea, especially since you didn't keep him. Might have cost you another loss. You said that would have been a better in the draft order. I do think there are a lot of people who right now would be upset and, like, I wish they did it, and at the time would have said something different. If it was presented to you at the time.
Yeah. I don't know, man. If you told me third round pick, I'd have probably been all over that last year. I mean, we were talking about fifth or sixth. I get it. It's Derrick Henry. So it's a different situation. But, man.
Well, it's also, let's remember the trading deadline, too. Like, what was their record? I mean,
it wasn't good.
It wasn't looking
totally
great,
it.
Yeah. But it wasn't totally toast yet.
Right.
So now you think back on the season, it's like, oh, you think of like the whole season was toast. Well, yeah. That's not how it goes, right?
Right.
And in this league, even if you're hanging on by a thread, you can limp into the playoffs and catch fire. I mean, in 2019, I brilliantly wrote, there's a lot of criticisms that are very fair. I brilliantly wrote that it was over and they are out of the playoffs, and they made the playoffs.
But
it happens.
Okay, so that's what you just read off is pretty detailed reporting of the situation at the last deadline, right? Like you're talking about a trade framework that is agreed to and goes on to say that people higher ups in the Titans organization basically vetoed it. Like, that's a lot of information to have to just not be accurate.
I mean, that's what Eric DaCosta said.
Right. So, again, I'm not saying that, you know, we can just fully believe Eric DaCosta, everything he says at face value, but that's a lot of pretty interesting detail to have there. So, like, why would Rand just act like that doesn't exist, right? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
I guess, to me, my initial impulse was, okay, so Amy nicks the trade and doesn't want to look bad. She's looked bad enough with some of her decisions.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the whole point of this previous discussion, you know, being indecisive, thinking one thing really strongly, and then a few weeks later you change your mind. That's kind of the point. So, okay, well, so Rand, you're going to have to go fall on a sword and say no. But if it wasn't her, I don't know. I think it's just it makes the organization look bad right now, and so you're going to deny it. I think you could probably, if you're Rand Carthon or the Titans, you also might be ticked off at Eric DaCosta for
putting that out there?
Yeah, for putting that out there.
Yeah.
But he did. He did. I'm sorry.
He did it. That's just...
Like, the idea that you don't know where it's coming from, you know darn well where it came from. It's right there, written out there for you.
I know. Like, again, I think I look at the moves that they've made this offseason, and I like a lot of what Rand Carthon has done on paper, right? Like, I mean, they've kind of rebuilt this roster in some ways, and they should be way more fun to watch. And everything about the hiring of Brian Callahan, I like to this point. We'll see how it all goes down. Some of the things he says sometimes, I'm like, Okay. Like you got every single coach you hired was your first choice. Like all of them were your first choice.
Right.
I think we're sometimes just going a little bit too far with some of the stuff he's saying.
It's some exaggerating.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. A little bit of hyperbole there, I would say.
It's just.
By
it's,
the way, you just recanted a Stilly segment right there.
Yeah, I did.
It's a Stilly kind of day on the program.
It's a Stilly day here on the program.
Gearing up for Jared versus Jolie.
5 o'clock. Taking your thoughts. 615-737-1025. Joe, before you take off to Titans training camp, a couple things you'll be watching today or watching for today on the field as the Titans kick things off.
Yeah, I don't have any great deep cuts here. Tavondre Sweat. I'm not going to, like, guess his weight. But Tavondre Sweat, how's he moving? We talked about in the spring before he got hurt. I thought he looked really good, like, in the rookie minicamp and stuff like that. He was moving really well. I'm like, okay, yep, you can see it. Whatever his weight was, he was massive, but he looked nimble, and he was moving really well. So definitely Tavondre Sweat. I just think he's a huge key to this season. Levis, of course. Levis, the receivers, any sort of really good receiver-DB confrontation we may get. I mean, is L'Jarius Sneed playing today? Is he starting right out on a program of management?
Yeah.
Or is he going to be out there today, you know, lining up across from DeAndre Hopkins? L'Jarius Sneed, DeAndre Hopkins, which, of course, I mean, that has happened in actual games. That is a dream combat catch matchup if we can get it. So those are the big things. You know, obviously who's where and things like that. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do today. Like, are they going to get into some team stuff? Like, are we going to have any idea about where things start with the offensive line? A lot of stuff like that. There's plenty. And then there'll be some stuff that just comes out of nowhere and we can talk about tomorrow.
Hopefully Arden Key talks.
There's Arden Key. Yes, his love for Kuharsk.
Why do you hate Paul Kuharsky so much? Where did that come from? We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025.
Can't wait.
It's our phone number. 615-737-1025. Joe, have fun out there.
Thank you.
Have a great time.
Appreciate it.
We'll have more on the Titans coming up next. Nick Kieser and myself. This week's Nashville's best deal is tickets to the Nashville Sounds Home Run Derby at First Horizon Park on Saturday, August 31st. Buy two tickets now for only $30 and watch as MLB legends, top female players, and local Middle Tennessee hitters compete in an exciting 3-on-3 co-ed competition. Buy your tickets now at thegamenashville.com/deals and be part of the Home Run Derby X excitement. Make sure you check that out. At thegamenashville.com/deals. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Nick Kieser. Rex Road bolting to Titans training camp, which, by the way, Chase and Big Joe will be live from Titans training camp today. So day one of Titans action on the field. We'll have you covered all day long here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe live out at Titans training camp. So looking forward to that. And today is the beginning, the unofficial beginning of the 2024 football season for the Tennessee Titans. And look, you know, we're about to embark on a long process here of training camp getting underway, and we're going to break down every possible angle of how many throws does Will Levis make, how many throws does he miss. Tavondre Sweat, can he stay on the field? L'Jarius Sneed, there's going to be a lot of storylines that we follow in Titans training camp here. We're still over a month away from meaningful football taking place. But this is a really interesting transition, Nick, that we're entering into with the Tennessee Titans. And I said it earlier with Kuharsky on the show. It's been 6 months of just straight positivity, right? It's what happens
basically,
anytime.
Yeah.
Hire a new coach. You've got a second-year quarterback that – I think we all agree showed some signs last year of being somebody that maybe could be an encouraging player for you moving forward. You hired a new head coach. There's a new offense. There's a new scheme. There's new everything, new players. And with that comes a lot of excitement. And now all that's going to start to be put to the test. How good is this team? How much better have they gotten in one offseason? And today is kind of the first step of finding out the answers to those questions.
It certainly is. And I'm interested to see who's limited and who's not, especially just with the workload. That was something that Brian Callahan talked about yesterday that really stood out to me, Robbie, was it's going to be more of a balance with a lot of the veterans. And it always is, you know, team by team. You have to watch everybody's workload. And I like how he also opened the window, just this vista of looking into, hey, we also rely on our medical staff, our training staff, for making sure that guys are either done for the day or they're not. And so, and so a lot of the time it's also based on, you know, this guy's done. So I don't know how much that's going to matter. Probably not very much whatsoever, but that is something to keep an eye on as training camp gets started, especially with a few guys like, you know, Snead's knees, and then also Jamal Adams. What does he look like? Sweat, I don't know, falls under that category just yet, but that is something to keep tabs on for sure. But also, too, I wonder how some of these wideouts do. You know, obviously, we heard about Treylon Burks, you know, and you guys mentioned it earlier about him sending photos to the staff about
his glad he's looking good
new physique. Yep. So how much does that make a difference? Because we talked about his asthma 2 years ago, so it's a complete 180 from what we used to mention about Treylon Burks. But how does he do? That's something else to keep tabs on.
Some news from Brian Callahan yesterday. Nicholas Petit-Frere and Colton Dowell starting training camp on the physically unable to perform list. Obviously, Dowell's still coming off the ACL from last year. Petit-Frere doesn't sound like it's going to be a while. He's going to be on active PUP, which means I think the term that Brian Callahan used was a couple of days. So it doesn't sound like it's going to be a very long time that Petit-Frere is out. But, I mean, you're talking about a right tackle competition that I think he's going to need as many reps as he can get, and we'll see what that competition, both at tackle and at right guard, looks like throughout camp as well. No injury designation for Ryan Stonehouse. So Stonehouse beginning camp, seemingly ready to go. And they kind of talked about, you know, Carthon and Callahan talked yesterday about the next step in his rehab process being getting out there and kind of the mental side of things of going through your motions, trying to get the punt off. There's a rush coming your way. Obviously, he's not going to get hit in training camp. You hope he doesn't get hit in the game either, especially like he did last year. But it's good to see Stonehouse out there as camp starts. I didn't know that we'd see that. I thought it may be a few weeks before Stonehouse was ready to go, but looks like the rehab has gone well for him. And no injury designation for Tavondre Sweat either. So we've talked about Sweat. He did miss time during the offseason program, but Brian Callahan saying, quote, yesterday he looks good, and, quote, I don't expect any issues as we get started. So Tavondre Sweat looks like he's going to be full go today. A lot of eyes going to be on him. How well does he move? Can he stay healthy throughout camp? And if he can, like, what sort of a factor is he going to be on the defensive side of the ball? When you draft him at 38, especially with some of the holes they've got on the defensive side of the ball, they need him to be a factor. So some health updates to keep an eye on there. Some other news from Callahan yesterday. He's talked about Mason Rudolph and Malik Willis in the backup quarterback competition and talked about the reps yesterday, saying it'll be a pretty even split. So he's talked about that. You know, I don't expect the coach to start training camp off by saying, yeah, Will Levis is the one, Mason Rudolph is clearly the two, and Malik Willis is the three. So it's not surprising to me that he leaves the door open for a competition between the backup quarterback. I think we would all be stunned if the backup quarterback isn't Mason Rudolph at this point. So some news and notes from Brian Callahan there yesterday at Titans training camp.
Yeah, should be interesting. I thought it was interesting, too, that Stonehouse was also said to be at the facility every day, that he was available to actually be there during the time that the Titans were away from everything. And so, you know, that is cool that he was able to kind of take that time for himself. I'm sure that he had moments of reflection throughout this entire time. That'd be a cool little story for somebody to do. That's something I like to do, is look at unique pieces. So, but I think it is cool to see that this team has kind of, you know, developed a lot of hype. You know, I would say compared to previous years, it's been a while since we've seen this many steady veterans in the lineup where theoretically things could work out really well. You know, I even heard Willie talking about how on paper this could be a team that could really make some noise, but then again, it's all noise. So we'll have to find out here in just a few weeks how this team looks. I do want to see how much different Callahan's approach is to playing the starters opposed to maybe what Mike Vrabel did in the preseason. But, Robbie, it's all fun and games until the ball is in the air, and that's not too far along from now.
Yeah, it looks like preseason you'll see more starters in there. Brian Callahan talked about that yesterday. So it looks like it's going to be a little bit of a different approach than we saw under the Mike Vrabel era as it relates to preseason starters, the playing time they get, and all those things. So we'll keep you updated on that as much as possible. Training camp beginning today on the field. We'll have you updated all day long on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe is coming up next. They are live out at Titans training camp, so make sure you're tuning in for that. That does it for us today. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.